What's going on? My name is Will, and I have the honor and the privilege as serving as one of the leaders here at Transformation Church. I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in from wherever you are watching from. And if you haven't already, be sure to like and subscribe. We believe that God has such an incredible word for you today. So let's jump into this amazing message.
Welcome to week 4 of a series we're calling, somebody say, show me the receipts.
Show me the receipts.
And the whole premise of this entire message series is that if we want fruit in our life, that God requires that fruit to be produced by the Holy Spirit. When we have these fruits produced by the Holy Spirit, it is the receipt that we actually have relationship with God. There are many people that go to church, wear a cross necklace, have a scripture tattooed on them that they have no proof of relationship with God. Like I want to let you know that having a big Bible on your coffee table, you can still go to hell with that. Praying, never missing, praying for your food but cussing your kids out. Y'all know, because we get religious about specific things. We never miss church, but we don't act in love. No. Don't call him a fool, because the Bible says if you call him a fool, and you got one scripture that you focus on. But the peace, the kindness, the self-control, nope. So when the world comes up to us today and says, why should I believe your God? We should be able to pull out, everybody say, receipts. Called fruit. That then prove that we have a relationship with God. And so every week we are going through another fruit of the Spirit, which is found in Galatians 5:22. And you can turn there right now and it'll be on the screens in just a minute. But this thing has taken a hold of me in a different way. And God has literally been saying, Michael, don't say you know me, show you know me. Did y'all hear what I just said? Don't say you know me, show you know me. I believe sometimes when people get up and say, I want to thank God, God be like, y'all can keep that, like, keep that. I don't want to be associated with that. Think about it. Y'all ever had that cousin that's crazy? Or that uncle that's a little off of center? And if you don't know who that person is in your family, it might be you. But there are certain environments that you come in and they're like, there you go, no, my nephew. There he go, da. And you'd be like, oh, I don't want to be associated with something that does not represent what I actually stand for. It's time for the church to go to a whole nother level of being able to show that we have a relationship with God, not talk about it. Being in the comments, tearing somebody down, does not show you have a relationship with God. Let me get into this message. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, let's say it together, okay? Put it on the screen so we can say these all together. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, 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 joy. I've always wanted to do that. Let's not go past the second fruit of the Spirit. When I thought about the actual lineup, because the Bible is divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, written through men, it's infallible. So everything's in their own purpose for a purpose. So when he was naming and putting these and inspiring somebody to put it down, he said love. And that's kind of obvious, because God is love. For God so love the world that he gave it. Like, it felt like, all right, love, start number one, love. But out of every other fruit of the Spirit, if it was consecutive, before self-control, he wanted you to have joy. before peace, he thought it was important that you have joy. Know that you are loved, but please walk in joy. And what has the enemy attacked most in the body of Christ? Their love and their joy. Christians don't look happy. Y'all don't make living for God look attractive. It doesn't seem like this is the better option. It seems like your life is miserable. It sucks. You're enduring. You hate anybody else that's having a good time with their life. And you want to just make it to heaven. When you worship, it's like, when you get a deep revelation, hey, that Oria Namanamaski should have bought. Where is the joy? I started to think about this in my own life. And the reason why I believe that joy would be the second thing God would put in there after love is because, watch this, joy is strength. Y'all didn't hear what I just said to you. Okay, Nehemiah 18. It literally tells us that the joy of the Lord. So there is a specific name attached to this joy. The joy of the Lord would be our strength. So he said they need to know they're loved, but they're gonna need strength. To have self-control, they're gonna need strength. To have peace under pressure, they're gonna need strength. To actually be patient with somebody, they're gonna need strength. So I gotta give them joy. Because the joy of the Lord will be our strength. And most of us have been allowing ourselves to be robbed of our strength. I don't feel like I can do it. I don't got no more. I can't take no more. I can't. And maybe you're on E because you have not allowed the Holy Spirit to actually develop joy in you again. Today, I'm telling you, in the next 40 minutes, somebody's about to get their joy back. No, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Some of y'all have been enduring life. There is about to be a joy, an enjoyment that comes on the inside of you. You're going to be smiling for no reason. You need to receive this by faith right now, that God is going to allow there to be joy in your house again, joy in your marriage again. Joy. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Dad, if it's just for me and you, we going to enjoy this thing. Do you hear me? Okay. Because the joy of the Lord is our. I was watching the Paris Fashion Week back in September, and I'll be watching it because honestly, I'll be liking to see how expensive stuff looks ugly, and like they call it couture. And they be like, this is couture, and it looked like somebody like dying in foil. And I, y'all know what I'm talking about. And one question that they always ask these people is, they say, who are you wearing? And these people will be like, I'm in Jean Blaise Sapatapir. And I'm like, wow, that looks amazing. And it's like, I know. And they're like. And then the next person will come up and they'll say, who are you wearing? It was interesting to me. They didn't say, what are you wearing? They were asking whose name was responsible for what they put on. And I begin to look at my life, and I decided that I would live in joy. I would allow what the Holy Spirit has given us to be the garment I put on daily. Okay. Some of y'all don't know yet because you haven't really decided what is your strength. Okay, I'm gonna just confront it right now. Put it up on the screen. And I want you to be honest with yourself. Where does your strength come from? Where does your strength come from? No, I know you said the Lord right now because I just told you a second ago. That That's where it should come from. I didn't say where it should. Where does it come from? Because for some of us, my job, my career, it's my strength. Think about it. When you walk in a room, how do you introduce yourself? Oh, my, yeah, I'm, yes, I own my own company. I'm an entrepreneur and made 7 figures last 2 years and run. What's the question you need to ask? If it's gone, do you still have joy? Because some of us, our job is our strength. As long as I got that job. But the reason, if I go a little deeper, it's really not the job that is your strength. For some of y'all, it's the money. The money that you get is your strength. Who are you without no money? Because that's who you are. Because some of y'all, the only thing that relieves stress for you, the only thing that you think brings you joy is shopping. Y'all know that Amazon cart open right now. If you swipe over on your iPhone right now, it's the Bible app and then Amazon's right there. You got your cart full of stuff that you have no money to buy. Or watch, you do have the money to buy it, but it don't fill you up. Cart full, soul empty. What's your strength? For some of us, our spouse is our strength. And I'm not talking about the unhealthy way. I'm not talking about you shouldn't depend on each other and you shouldn't be in it together and the two become one. But let them veer off in their faith. And what do you do?
Well, I know this is, you know what I'm saying? We're supposed to be one, so let's be one and wrong.
I've seen it happen hundreds of times. We used to be on fire for God, but, you know, he got burnt out on the church. And so I got burnt out in the church, and now we into. Is the substance your strength? Come on. It was for an injury. And it helped you through a season, but it made you feel so good that you kept going. Now you're getting prescriptions from people that don't even share your bloodline. You turn it up on Fridays. I'm a blackout. I ain't even gonna remember my birthday. Why would you want? No. Why would you want to put yourself in a position to not because you're living a life void of joy. I want to remember everything that has happened to me because I actually am living a life full with joy. But if joy isn't your strength, the joy of the Lord, you will begin to look for it in other things. And so today, my title of this sermon is called, I'm going to enjoy this. Somebody say, I'm going to enjoy this. Say it with faith. I'm going to enjoy this. But you missed it. I'm not just talking about having a good time. I'm going to do this in. See, what I'm wearing right now was not the original intent of this outfit. When John helped me pick out this outfit, he had a different vision in mind. I came up here presenting that I was fully clothed. But there was a piece of this outfit that was missing. I did not put on the jacket of joy before I came out here. And y'all would have let me preach this whole message and never known that I was supposed to be in something else. See, this right here was the original intent for this outfit from the beginning. I've been worried about how my booty looks in these. The little thing keeps riding out. The tie keeps coming out at the bottom. I've been fully conscious of what I had on because I didn't have on my full covering. But y'all don't hear what I'm saying. But what was provided for me before I even walked out here was a jacket full of joy. See, what am I wearing? How am I deciding to go through trial and tribulation in? How am I gonna raise them kids? How am I gonna walk through this hard situation in? They walked out on me and talked about me, and the reason I'm not gonna go slash they tires is because I live in. I need somebody who's deciding to put on the garment of joy to give God a shout of praise in this place. I will live in. It was a decision. I had to decide to put on what was provided for me, what was tailor-made for me. Well, I had to decide today to go and put on what fit me perfectly. This was designed for my body, but it would have been away from me had I not decided to put it on. And too many believers are waking up every day and deciding to leave joy in the closet. But today, somebody's gonna decide to live in joy. Somebody just said, joy looks good on you. Look at your neighbor and tell them, joy looks good on you. Come on, come on. They've been mean mugging all service, but just speak by faith. Speak by faith. Joy looks good on you. Yeah. Smile. Even if you bought all your teeth, smile right there. Come on, give it. Go ahead. Let me tell you what the definition of joy is. Oh, I feel this thing. Joy, watch this, is an internal disposition of long-term contentment. Joy is an internal disposition of long-term contentment. The reason I didn't put joy on the outside of this is because joy is an inside job. I can't go out wearing that. It has to come from the and I know that this is a little confusing because as a child we're taught the value of happiness. We want to be happy, little bit happy. We're gonna be happy, happy, happy. Like all the songs, all the things, it talks about happiness. And the reason is because happiness seems very simple to understand, but it actually is a cheap counterfeit for joy. It's not bad. I want you to be happy. Some pastors get up there, we don't want you to be happy. We want you to have joy. It's like, I want to be happy and have joy. Can we do both, please? And I think you can. You just realize that one can't hold you. Write it down like this. Happiness can help, but happy won't hold you. Happiness can help you, but happiness will not hold you. Any college students in the house right now, like currently in college right now? Any college students? Okay. All right. Which one of y'all, this is what I want to do. I want to cover somebody eating for this whole week. If somebody, you... I didn't hear her. She cried out, me. I heard a cry from, okay, come here. Let me, come on. Y'all cheer. Y'all, somebody's gonna get blessed. I know it's hard. Just come on right up here. I know it's hard for a student out here. What's your name, sweetheart?
Anaya.
Where you go to college?
TU.
TU. All right, shout out to TU. All right, I wanna cover you eating for this whole week. So here we go, 7 days in a week. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, cherish these. And anytime that you know, when your stomach is just right on the verge of turning on the inside out and eating another part of your body, throw one of these in.
Just to
what? No. Just a snack on them. No, this is what you're gonna eat this week. Now, how foolish do I sound offering her moments of happiness. But this won't hold her. At the moment where she's hungry, when she bite an ass nigga, she gonna be like, oh God, that feels so good. 45 seconds later, right after track practice, oh, because you have something to do that you need to be fueled for. You run track? This wouldn't be enough. This would make you happy in moments, but not have the sustenance to fill you up to actually be healthy. This is what happiness looks like. It's good. It tastes good. A Snickers is good, but only eating Snickers? Constant, immediate moments of sugar highs will create something in you that could kill you. Diabetes is inevitable if all she eats for the next 15 years are small pockets of happiness. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Baby girl, I'm gonna give you $300, okay? So you can eat this week, okay? Thank you for not slapping me when I gave you these Snickers. I appreciate you. God bless her. All right, Mo's gonna get you taken care of. God bless you. What I'm saying to you is if that's what you wanna settle for, you can. But let me give you something better than happiness. Somebody say, I'm gonna live in joy. Okay. All right. Okay. So if you're doing it for happy, you're gonna get disappointed at some point. If you're marrying because she makes you happy, I don't know if I'm gonna get through this message. All the married people over 5 years will tell you there's some days that happy not even on the menu. I'm looking in the Cheesecake Factory menu, and I slap you, cuss you. That's all on the menu. But happy? Can't even find it. Gotta write it in. So I'm just trying to help you. If you're only marrying them to be you're gonna get disappointed. Watch this one. If you're having kids to be happy.
Little Zuzu gonna make me happy. Look at me and little Zuzu. Look at little Zuzu.
Y'all know them people, they ain't holding me like this. Little Zuzu. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Look at him. I got him a gold tooth at 3 years old. Little Zuzu.
Parents will tell you, kids make you happy like 0.6%. I mean, in the scheme of things, you, okay. If you're starting a business to be happy, I'm just trying to let you know that happiness is not bad. It's just not gonna be long lasting. If you want to feel something, this is why people jump from bed to bed. Because they haven't found joy inside of themselves. And so they go from happy to happy. Happy to peppy. Okay. Let me stop. Because some of y'all came with them. All right, here we go. I'm on another level today. All I'm trying to tell you, having lived a little bit of life, is when happy stops holding you, it feels like hell. This is why people turn to stuff. They say, because I can't, I've tried happy, and this won't keep me. I can still be depressed and be in happy moments. This don't hold me no more. So I gotta go to this, and I gotta go to that, and I gotta go to them, and I gotta get more success, and I gotta be more, and I gotta get more Instagram followers, and I gotta, because happy's not holding me no more. And it feels like I'm living in hell. Can I give you a better option that was provided at salvation through the Holy Spirit? Ah. It's something that can be developed in you, and the world didn't give it, and the old folks would say, and the world can't take it. Oh, I'm feeling good. Somebody shout at me, I'm going to enjoy this. Okay? And see, right now, some people are getting agitated because this message lets you know how far you're away from joy. Like, I'm talking right now, and you're like, what does this have to do with anything? Teach me the word. Teach. Give me some deep revelation. So you can still be mad and angry? Like, I just want everybody to understand. People be like, oh, that's milk. I want something deep. No, you want to be confused. Some people equate good preaching with confusion. I'm not playing. Oh, my God, what are you talking about? Oh, you talk about the osmos and the cosmos and how the cosmos went to the dosmos. You won't shut up. And the scripture that talks about somebody that can rule their mouth. I don't want it to be deep. I want it to be doable. Because until we can live this thing out, we got to talk about how much we know Jesus instead of showing people. Somebody say, show me the receipts.
Show me the receipts.
So I was looking up how you can differentiate joy and happiness. And they gave three factors that helped you like be able to actually conclude whether you were functioning in happiness or joy. And it really just jacked me up. And I could preach this for like 3 days. It said the way you know is it's the difference in source, depth, and duration. So I said, hold on, source of happiness, depth of happiness, duration of happiness. So I began to look at it and I said, the source of happiness is situational. So when I'm in a good situation, it's good. But the source of joy, watch this, is salvation. So I want you to know, where is the source of your joy? Where do you get it from? Do you get it when somebody buys you a new pair of shoes? That's happiness. Because somebody don't buy you a pair of new shoes every day. So when they do, it's like, I'm happy. I'm not saying happy is bad. I'm just letting you know that it's happiness. You don't actually have joy. But if you have been saved by grace and you was dirty, filthy, jacked up, and nasty, and God still said, them, I'll leave the 99 and I'll pick that one right there. And while you were yet sinning, yet in the thing, planning for it, he died for you. If your joy comes from knowing how good God has been from you, it's actually joy. Depth, happiness, watch this, is shallow. While joy is deep. You know it's joy because this was before me. There's no way I'm preaching on this stage right now without God speaking to Tommy and Brenda Todd to come to Tulsa in late 1981 and helping them, helping Carlton Pearson start Higher Dimensions. But it went before them. This, the thing that I have is something deeper than what I could even connect myself to. God wants to give you the ability to be a part of history, or say it a different way, his story. He said, I was writing this story all the way back to the first Adam. This thing that you have should be so deep, it's connected to something that all you have to do is receive. You couldn't even make this up. But many of us shall settle for the shallow thing. And the last thing is duration. You know that it's happiness if the duration, watch this, is immediate. Boom, that was good. But joy, the duration is, watch this, eternal. What's longer than eternal? He said, I'm gonna give you joy that lasts through every government structure, every kingdom, every president, every hurricane, every natural disaster. I want to give you something that you can have when you're single, when you're married, when you're divorced, when you get married again, when they die. I want to give you something when the children are babies. I want to give you something that you can have when they're adolescents, when they leave the house, when they do what you say, when they do what you don't say. I want to give you, somebody shout at me, joy. Because most of our joy, watch this, is really just happiness uneducated. When you actually graduate to joy, it's like happiness with a PhD. It's like I can get the same feeling, but it don't come from the same place. And when I saw that, I realized putting on this jacket today, I'm trying to say something super simple that you can live out. Putting on this jacket today was a decision. I am preaching to you in joy. Tomorrow when I wake up, I'm going to put on, I'm not taking it off. There's this idea that when I go home, I take off the fruits of the Spirit. I can really be myself. That sounds like division to me. That sounds like you're not one person. It feels like you might have some split personality, spiritual, demonic kind of stuff going on. Because if you come here one way, and then you go home and be another way, which one do you want God to heal? God does not bless the you pretend to be. He blesses the real. I would rather you come in here ratchet, jacked up, judgmental, crazy, so God can heal that person. Because if you learn how to be a professional Christian, you become desensitized to the move of God. So the Spirit can be moving, but you're so used to switching face that you can and then bust somebody in the face and you're disintegrated. You're not together. And God wants us to be one, unified, the same person. And that's why we have to decide every day, I'm putting myself in a position to live in joy. Okay. I said it earlier, but I'll write it down as a point. Joy is an inside job. Psalms 51, verse 10. Joy is an inside job. David, at his lowest moment, he had literally had been with Bathsheba, killed her baby daddy and her husband. Oh, y'all, the Bible juicy. My man is in, like, he already took care of Goliath. His name is on all the billboards. He's successful by man's standard. But he walks away from the purity of what God wanted in his life. And he's in a low place. And in Psalms 51, look what he prays for. Create in me a pure heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Which tells me that at one point he was there. At some moment, this was in him. He had a pure heart. He was steadfast in his spirit. But he said, could you renew in me? Would you put it in there again? Somebody say renew. I believe that today some people are for the first time in a long time. It's about to be a renewal. There's a spiritual reset that's about to happen in your life. He said, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Why would David's prayer be, don't take the Holy Spirit? Like, I know I done jacked up. I know I messed up. I know I lied. But please, don't take me out of your presence. And please tell him to stay here with me. It might mean that the Holy Spirit and the fruit he brings is more important to the longevity and the actual nourishment of our life than we act. He said, these two things, please, don't take me out of your presence and let your Holy Spirit stay with me. Here's the key. Restore to me, what does it say? The soul. Why would he say, renew me, don't take the Holy Spirit, and please restore the I've been doing this outside of joy. I've been parenting outside of joy. I've been going down this career outside of joy. I've been ministering to people with no joy. I've been praying for people with no joy. I've been making this money, no joy. God, please restore to me the joy of what? Hold on, did we just find the location of joy? He said, please restore to me the joy of my salvation. But see, I just said it wrong. Because I always be saying my salvation, because that's what church people said, and that's what I heard first. But then when I started reading the Bible, and I even heard my mama say it right there, and it just came in me as my salvation. But look what it says for real. Restore to me the joy of. You didn't die for me, and I didn't die for me. I get the jacket of joy at salvation, tailor made for me. Because he died, I get to live in this. And he said, restore, could you please bring me back to the place where I was tailored? Would you please put me in that place where you can fit me again with joy? I know when I was younger, I used to have joy when it came to seeing people do things that I didn't do well. But now all I see is anger that you would let somebody else have that and not me. Would you please restore to me the joy? Write it down. Salvation is the source of joy. I'm trying to break this down so you never get played by the enemy again. Through the Holy Spirit, Christ provided a way for you and me to live in joy. Period. No money in the bank. Enjoy. They cuss me out. Enjoy. You evicted me from my apartment that had roaches anyway, and I told y'all 6 weeks ago. Cool. No, God bless you. No, because I know God is working all things together. For my good, I don't see it right now, and I really do want to go back to my Nuck If You Bug days. And I really do want to find you. And I know where you live. You, C6. C6. I know that's where you live. C6. You live in the apartment right across the street. Toyota Corolla, right? Y'all crazy. I know. Y'all know y'all be. But I'm deciding. I digress. The Holy Spirit's working in me. And I'm deciding to, watch this, stay in joy. It's not enough to just live in joy. You have to. And I found this, I gotta close, but I found that all the people who don't live in joy usually live in judgment. A sure way to judge your own joy is to see how judgy you are. If somebody gets saved that was wilding out and you think things in your heart or say them out loud, like, I wonder how long that's gonna last. You might not be dressed in when you 62 people down in the comments talking about, that's not scripture and he's a liar and a false prophet and this, that, and the third. You didn't think to pray for me once. You've analyzed how much all my jewelry costs and where I get my hair done and how many cars that I have, and you ain't prayed for me one time out here on the front line. You are. Oh, I know what you did. You took off joy. And you put on judgment. What's wrong? Why y'all acting different? Praise the Lord, everybody. Glory to God. I wonder how long this service gonna last.
Where Pastor Natalie at? Where's she at? Is she here today? You ain't say it out loud. You said it in your heart. And the crazy thing about it is, judgment is always noticeable on the outside. This thing stinks, and so do you. The Holy Spirit, this is produced by the flesh, and you think I'm making this up. But if you go up from Galatians 5:22 and you go up to Galatians 5:19, it lists a whole bunch of things that are a work of the flesh. There's another spirit that is at work in you, and it is a work of the flesh. And one of those that is stuck in there, and it's one that the church misses a lot because we focus on the sexual immorality and da-da-da-da. But there's one in there, jealousy. Because judgment is that you see on the outside is usually fueled by that scratched on the inside. That's why people can't celebrate what God's doing at Transformation Church. I'm going to say it no matter what. Y'all, I'm sorry. We need to do an uncut of this. The people in the comments aren't unsaved people. This is what believers look like. Well, the Bible tells us to judge. You are coming with a critical spirit. It says to go to your brother. Go. Oh, y'all forgot that part of the scripture? You won't even hit me in the DM. You're going to put it. You put a 5-paragraph. But you somehow think that you're representing the King of Kings? And the Lord of Lords, there are people who are walking away from the faith because they see. People were mad when somebody that literally changed thousands of people's lives in church culture, Carl and Laura Lynch, when they needed a place to actually heal, church people were telling me I should throw them out of the church. And they have no place. Where the hell do you go if you need to be transformed? Where the hell do you go?
I'm sorry. We got to end this message.
I'm taking off judgment. Matter of fact, I'm ripping this thing. I'm throwing it out of my life. And I'm choosing to live in. If you go live in joy, give God a shout of praise in this place.
Oh, I feel my help coming on. Okay.
Until the church learns that our strength comes from joy, we will be void of the power we need to actually go and love our neighbor, to actually stand in hardship with somebody, to actually have peace under pressure. I'm begging you, church, take off judgment. Stop being jealous. Because if you don't, it just creates division. Unity is where there's a commanded blessing. Church, all I'm trying to get you to do is this one concept. Decide that you will live in. You're going to get a jacket this week and somebody going to put joy on the inside of you. Huh? Do you hear me? Somebody say, Andy, it. Somebody's going to actually get a jacket. You say, you know what? I'm going to put on a piece of tape, and you're just going, That's going to be our thing this week, Transformation Church. Y'all snap a picture and text me. Because we are choosing by faith through the Holy Spirit to live in.
All right, let's go. When you get home, Psalm 16:7. Read this whole thing, because it blessed me. I'm just going to read verse 11, okay, because we got to go. Everybody stand up. We got to go home. Psalm 16:11. It says, you make known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy. Hold on. Here's another location of joy, though. Joy is found at salvation. And if you need to be filled up in joy after salvation, you find joy in his presence. Why do we worship for 25, 30 minutes? Because if your whole week has been hell, all I'm trying to do is get you into his presence so that you can get joy, so that you can have strength. How are we gonna make it another week? I get into his presence so that I can get joy, so that I can get strength. The equation why I wake up in the morning and spend time with God is because to raise these kids, I'm gonna need strength. Because everything in me wants to leave them outside. But what I need to do right now, y'all, come on now. What I need to do right now is worship God, get in his presence so that I can find joy, so that I can have strength. And the sad truth about this whole thing is many of you have been blaming the devil for stealing your joy. He does not have that power. That's his aim. But he can't steal your joy. You can give it away, though. John 10:10, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to steal your joy, trying to destroy your joy. But he can't, because Jesus, he said, I came that you may have. Hold on, no. Read it in the Amplified. It says that you may have and enjoy life. Oh, hold on. I'm gonna mess with your theology right now. So maybe you're not just supposed to endure life. Yeah, there's suffering. Yeah, there's hardship. Yeah, there's things that suck. Yeah, there's things I wish would never happen. Yeah, I have questions. Why do bad people get this and why? Yeah. But the whole reason that Jesus came was in contrast to the devil, so that we could enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. My last point I want you to hear me say is living in joy allows you to enjoy life. Many of you can't enjoy life because you don't live in. You think enjoying something, you can enjoy stuff without Jesus. But when you live in joy, it allows you to get the full expression of what God meant for things to be in. I found it. I'm gonna give this example. It might be controversial, but I'm gonna just say it anyway. People hate on LeBron. And I understand there's different eras and there's different things. But the one thing that I found out in comparison to the person that he is goaded against is one of them does it with a noticeable joy. One of them laughs, has handshakes with his teammates and brought all of his homeboys who were broke and made them millionaires and has a school and gives back and just, like, it's like there's this level of enjoy, and people hate that he enjoys his dream coming true. Think about the type of sick you have to be. And I'm not, maybe you do end up with less championships. But when I watched the other guy's documentary, nobody close to him was in it. Scott, I don't care. We can fight later. I'm just saying, one of them brought his high school coach who cut him, to his Hall of Fame speech, to basically say, I told you so. This is public knowledge, so I'm not making up nothing. This is stuff that, it just doesn't seem like, even though you got all the rings and all the things and all the, like, did you in? I would hate for us to get to the end of this life. You got millions of people saved. And your kids didn't enjoy you. We filled arenas, but you were void of anointing. You didn't. This is why for me, like everything that God's blessed me with, like I'm gonna enjoy. I know what people think a pastor's supposed to be. He didn't make me that. If he knew what the stereotypical looked like, that ain't your boy. So everybody can't rock with it. Oh, did you see his car? For some reason, God blessed me outside of this pulpit. I just gotta say some stuff. You're not gonna make me feel bad for enjoying my life. I'm going on vacation several times in 1 year because y'all stressed me out. And I'm gonna look at my wife in a bathing suit and enjoy it. And what I'm telling you, y'all not going, and see, the religious part of you right now has built up that something's wrong with that. But until you live in, you'll never be able to enjoy. I just want you to evaluate, is joy missing in your life? Because if it is, I can help you find it today. David prayed, restore me to the joy of my salvation. If you have never been saved, today you are going to get joy by being engrafted into the kingdom. I need the church to start praying. Some of y'all needed this message because it's not what you could gain, it's what you've been missing. You've been missing joy. And the only way you get joy is through salvation. If you're in this room, there's going to be two altar calls, so I don't want anybody to move real quick, because this is very, 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 this is about to be transformation. I feel the presence of God. If you need to get this jacket of joy today and take off the jacket of judgment, and you can, watch this, you can be saved and choose to put on that jacket of judgment. If today you want to take that off and be restored to the joy of your salvation, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hands. Restoring, repenting, renewing in Jesus is the only way you get in joy. And today is your day of salvation. It's the thing that took me from being a liar, a manipulator, addicted to pornography, had very dark things in my heart, was very judgmental, thought that everybody was worse than me and I was doing the same thing everybody was doing and worse. But I had a shadow over my eye to see my own failures until Jesus took the veil off of me. And today I want that same thing for you. If today you want to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, or renew your relationship with him, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hands. And I want you to do it not with your eyes closed and nobody can see, because we're going to have to live this out in front of people. So let's go ahead and start it now. Everybody's like in secret. And no, in front of everybody. I see you, ma'am. And I'm so glad that you made that decision. One, come on, I see you. Two, I see you. Three, lift your hands all over this building. There's a renewal, transformation, church. Let's praise God. I see you, I see you, I see you. I see you, ma'am, I see you, brother. More than I see you, God sees you. Now, those hands are up. Everybody put your hands up. Yeah, because nobody prays alone at Transformation Church. This is a family. And I want us to pray together. Say, God, thank you for sending Jesus to give me joy. I declare my life will never be the same after this moment. Today, I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again with all power just for me. Take my life, change me, renew me, transform me, I'm yours, and I will live in joy all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we turn up right now and celebrate all over this room? Hallelujah. Now listen, hold on. Y'all starting to move. Wait a minute. Hold up. Because today, I don't just believe people need salvation. Today, somebody needs an impartation. You need the Holy Spirit to come alive on the inside of you. I don't want to go through 6 weeks of telling you about the fruits of the Holy Spirit and you only acknowledge God the Father and God the Son. Y'all know there's a third one, right? It's God the Holy Spirit. Not the junior God, not the play God. It's God the Holy Spirit. And today I just thought, if it was me, I wouldn't want nobody holding out on me to allow me to receive the Holy Spirit. And somebody has maybe got this twisted. The Holy Spirit is a person. I did a whole teaching on it called The Upgrade that I want everybody who wants to know more about the Holy Spirit, I want you to go to YouTube this week and watch it. It's called The Upgrade. But listen to me. I want you to understand there's a difference between having relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit and actually walking in the benefit of the gifts he brings. The church has played us by thinking the only proof that we have the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a benefit of having relationship with the Holy Spirit. But you can have relationship with the Holy Spirit without speaking in tongues yet. And what I'm saying to you is, I want you to speak in tongues. When I'm not on this mic, and it's not everybody, if you come to Wednesday night prayer, you better believe Pastor Mike is in here. I'm call me Machine Gun Mike on Wednesdays, huh? But I know my audience today, that I'm speaking to people far from God. I'm speaking to people who know him, and I want you to understand what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, speaking in tongues, Paul writes that I speak in tongues more than all y'all. He said that's where my strength and my power comes from. So I'm saying we believe in that. But I want to destroy the myth that you cannot have, because people say, are you filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? We don't need evidence by speaking in tongues. The evidence we need, or the receipts we need, that are from the Holy Spirit, are love, joy, peace, patience, kind. That is proof. If anybody wants evidence of you having the Holy Spirit, how do you have peace in the middle of a situation? Today, if you want to, watch this, at salvation, you get the Holy Spirit. Jesus even told, this is my, I have to do this pastorally because I don't want us void of power. To tell you all this and then you go home and get beat up by the enemy because you don't have the power to actually do this would be pointless and it would be malpractice. Today, there are people in here that I want to let you know that the Holy Spirit, watch this, needs to be released in your life. You don't need to receive them. You already got them if you got salvation. You need to take them out the closet. You need to listen when he speaks. You know when you say, something told me, that's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he will lead and guide you into all truth. He told you to put the phone down and don't call her. That wasn't intuition or the stars or the universe. That was the Holy Spirit. Don't turn this way, turn that way. Wear this today. Read this scripture. Jesus said it was so important that we got the Holy Spirit that he needed to die. Do y'all remember that? He said, it's better for y'all if I go. Because when I go, only one God can be on this earth at a time. So God was here at creation. Jesus was here for your salvation, and the Holy Spirit will be here for your navigation. Did you hear what I just said? He said, you need me to go because it is finished. But if you want to navigate, you need the Holy Spirit. And if you've been trying to lead, love, do business, try to kick that addiction, try to stop lying without the Holy Spirit, you're playing yourself. Because our natural man can't do it. If try hard worked, we would all be better. But today, if you want to release the Holy Spirit in your life, I'm going to ask you to make a bold step. I don't care. Listen to me. This is how serious I am. I don't care if you're on Transformation Church staff. No, I don't care about your status. I don't care about who people think you are. I don't care if you sang worship in here. Don't sing the last song. Come to the altar. Because I want you to be endued with power so that you can actually live this life out. If you want to release the Holy Spirit in your life anew and afresh, get down to this altar right now. If you are at home, I want you to stand up, take a step. I see you, my sister. Come on. This is not for anybody spectating. This is for God to see, and I want you to be here. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Come and lift your hands. Let the power of the Holy Ghost. Can you move those stanchions? People are going to need to be there. Fall on me. Come on, I need y'all to come close. Anointing, fall on me. Ro, will you sing that? I want you to sing that. Anointing. Come on, hands lifted all over this place.
Fall on me.
You can park that camera. Move those, move the stanchions, Brother Glenn. People are going to have to be all over here. Yeah.
Fall on me.
Surya namasaya namas.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me.
Anointing.
Anointing. Fall on me.
Okay, everybody listen to me that's at this altar and everybody that's watching. Okay, look at me. I'm taking all of this off. This is not weird. This is not scary. This is not spooky. This is not a meme. This is not something that you have to try to justify and try to make people understand. This is what Jesus left for every believer. Don't leave your power on the table. Some of you are going to get the benefit of speaking in tongues today. It's going to well up in you and out of your mouth, out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. And you're going to be like, if somebody look, it don't matter. I'm going to speak with you. There are going to be prayer warriors around here. And you're going to say, well, is this right? It's not right. It's yours. It don't got to be right to nobody else. It's yours. It's the language. Well, what tongue is this? What did that? It's yours. And I know they don't do this on Sunday morning no more because they want everything to be politically correct, but I don't want you to live this week without power. I can't do it. I can't keep reading your DMs and your messages and your emails. And I'm saying I can't do nothing for you. Pastor Mike can pray for you, but the Holy Spirit can empower you. I need you to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. How you gonna put down the weed? How you gonna put down the alcohol? How you gonna stop being jealous? The power of the Holy Spirit. People say it's the Holy Ghost. That's fine. It's another term. But he's a person.
Yeah.
And watch, I'm telling you this because I needed it explained to me. Because I didn't want to lose control and start da-da-da-da-da. The Holy Spirit won't do nothing to you that you don't allow him to. He's a gentleman. He says, though I stand at the door and knock, and for many of y'all, he's been knocking at the door for years. And you keep saying, hold on, Holy Spirit. Let me clean some stuff up. And you close the door and you go live your life. Holy Spirit, give me until Christmas. And he's saying, what you don't understand is when I come in, I come with a cleaning crew. You can't clean it up. It'll be infested over and over again. But he's saying today, let me in. When I speak, obey. some of you, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, and you've been thinking it's like God up in the sky, God. That's been God, the Holy Spirit. And I want everybody that's not understanding fully to go back and watch that series, The Upgrade, because I break it down for like 10 weeks. And I walk, but what I'm telling you is you can receive today. Well, my mama ain't filled with the Holy Spirit, but you will be. And your mama may not know what to do, and something comes out of you. You the youngest person in the house, and be like, mama, I think we need to go talk to that man. He don't know our business. I just feel something telling me. We need to go tell that man our situation. You don't know. God had already been talking to that man that there was a family he was supposed to bless with something. Y'all don't know how the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into places and situations, and he will lift, oh my God, he will lift the heavy burden. The word that Jesus gives the Holy Spirit is the paraclete. It says the one who comes alongside to help you. Some of y'all want a business partner? You about to get one. His name is Holy Spirit. Some of y'all need a financial advisor? You about to get one. His name is Holy Spirit. And guess what? You can't lie to him. He know anyway. How do I lead this church? I ain't never done this before. How did I write down crazy faith stuff? How did... Holy Spirit. And then he proved it so that I would trust him more. You wasn't crazy. You heard my voice to move. You wasn't lost. And some of that has been distorted by religion. And today we're praying like David. Purify my heart. Place in me a right spirit. Restore me to the joy of my salvation. Would y'all lift y'all hands all at this altar and at home? Ooh, I feel the presence of God. I'm gonna pray a very simple prayer that was prayed over me. And throughout this moment and this week, the Holy Spirit is gonna become more real to you. Father, thank you that your Holy Spirit is in every person right now. Today, we release the Holy Spirit to rule, reign, change, transform, and produce fruit in my life. I will not restrict what you want to do. Give me all you have for me. In the name of Jesus, fill them, God. Fill them. Fill them. From the inside. From the inside. If somebody right now, everybody who has a heavenly language, I need you to begin to speak in it in this room. We're about to fill this place. Come on the mic. I'm explaining everything. So anybody who's confused, we'll explain it all, but I need you to begin. There's an atmosphere. And if there's something on the inside of you that you feel that is about to come out of you, let that thing out. Power, 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 power. Father, you told the disciples to wait in a certain place, and in that place you would endue them with power. You would give them power, power to live, power to walk right, power to change, power to put it down. I declare there be a surge of power all over through the internet, Father. Everybody watching on YouTube, everybody watching on rebroadcast, for the babies, for the college students, for the high school students, for the middle school students. Father, restore. I thank you that there's a fresh wind, a fresh fire, a fresh burning. Holy Spirit, come. Yeah. I need y'all to pray. Come on, help me. Holy Spirit, come. Get my mama mic. Holy Spirit, come. Oh, I feel this. Holy Spirit, come. Heal. Deliver. Transform. Set free. Holy Spirit, come. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Whatever's in your belly, let that thing out. He's filling you.
He's healing you. He's delivering you. He's breaking generational patterns. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Feel, cleanse, clean, break, heal, deliver, set free, change, transform.
Edoya.
It's going to come out in your love. It's going to come out in your joy. It's going to come out in your peace. Yeah. Yeah, people are being filled. Yeah. At a whole nother level. He's already there. Let him free. Let it loose.
Release it.
Release. Release. The best explanation is in a song. And that's what we're going to do all week. Some of you, it happened right there. Yeah. Tears are flowing. Now hear me. We're not going to grieve the Holy Spirit by putting things that will block. Guard your atmospheres. Because we got to make sure that this thing is real. And some of us want it to happen a certain way. And I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit is it. Somebody just, everybody look at me and say, the Holy Spirit is free in me.
It's free in me.
That's a fact. When you just decided that you were going to invite him in, you need to know, well, where's my evidence? It's about to come out. Fruit takes a little bit to actually develop. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Somebody say,
the Holy Spirit
is free in me. You're going to see it tomorrow when you're able to live in joy. Yeah. You're going to see it when somebody does something, you'll be like, why do I want to respond in love? That is the Holy Spirit. But there's a part of a song that has challenged me and given me the meter to see the Holy Spirit keep coming anew and afresh in my life. It says, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your good. He's already there. Let's be aware. Let us become more aware of your Father. Let us make sure we know you're there. Let us experience the glory. Come on, hands lifted. Can we sing that to you? Let us become.
Let us become.
Woo!
More aware of your presence.
Let us experience. Yeah. Holy Spirit, you're free in me. Lead me, guide me, change me, correct me. Let us become,
let us become more aware of your presence.
Let us experience
the glory.
Everybody, let's sing this. Say, Holy, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Put your hand on yourself, yeah. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
To be overcome by your presence, Lord. God, I thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I thank you because of that finished work, every one of us can receive the Holy Spirit. Today, I thank you that new power just came to your people. Father, they may feel the same, but everything just changed. God, I thank you that as we read your word, it becomes alive because we have the Holy Spirit now. Thank you, Father, the fruits of the Spirit, the seeds we plant now can actually go on good ground and produce much fruit. I thank you, today was a day of transformation. And we will live in joy. It's your presence, Lord. Everybody at this altar, listen to me. We're about to dismiss. there's a worship in this house. And some of you are going to get the benefit of speaking in tongues in here. And then other people are going to allow that thing is going to keep going. Don't be distracted. Listen, people are fighting generational stuff. Y'all hear what I'm saying to me? The enemy don't want to let somebody go that he's had for a long time. And so don't be scared of the fight. All my prayer team, I need us to be ready. We just going to touch and agree with the people that are up here. There's prayer in the back. But I just feel next week going to be different for us. Because it will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen in this space? Yeah. And please don't let religion and time served as a leader in the house of God keep you from getting power. I just see some seasoned saints that are stale. No power for a long time. And God wants to restore to you the joy of your salvation. It's a fresh feeling. Thank you for what you did in this place today, God. And I know you're not done. If you gave your life to Christ today, I want you to text SAVE to 828282. Because we want to walk with you. Can we do this? How about 1,000 of us show up to prayer on Wednesday night? There's over 2,000 people. Like, y'all, easy. Let's go. I just feel like just this Wednesday. I'm not asking you for every Wednesday. Maybe the Holy Spirit will ask you for every Wednesday, but I'm not. But this Wednesday, at 6 o'clock, let's fill this place. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit would do a deep work on the inside of us. And if you want to go, then we'll go to Bible study. There's something for the youth now. I want you to bring the family on Wednesday night. Yeah. But I want us to pray that this thing that has started in here will never stop. Did y'all hear what I just said? The thing that God started will never stop. Lift your hands. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. Oh, thank you for what you did today. Thank you for what you're continuing to do right now. And thank you for the ripple effect that this is about to have on generations of people. Young man, your life is about to change. What's your name? Donnell? Donnell, God's hand is on your life, boy. His hand is on your life and it's been on your life. And there's been a decision you've been trying to make. Am I going to do this or am I going to be like that? And God today is bringing you to this place to snatch you. Like, I literally see the Holy Spirit, like, not this one. Like, I saw it like that. There's too many prayers that have been prayed for. And you're going to serve God and you're going to make a huge impact in the culture. I don't know what you do. I don't know how you do it. I don't know anything. But God, he literally had me stop that prayer. That was the ending prayer. And the Lord stopped the ending prayer. Somebody's hands still up. Their hands are shaking right now because they want to put their hands down. Because I had to stop and tell you that what God's going to do in your life is going to save thousands of people. Y'all should rejoice with him. You should encourage this young man. Yeah. The Bible needs to become your favorite book. You need to get one you can understand. It don't gotta be deep. You gotta understand it. I want you to get something you can understand. And I just want you to start reading the Bible. And when you got questions and when you don't know, I want you to start actually searching for answers. Ty, I want you to get with him. I want you to, there's something special on this young man's life. And I feel led to pray for you in front of everybody. Because what God's gonna do in your life is gonna be in front of everybody. He's going to do it in front of everybody. And I don't wish that upon people if God's hand is not on your life. Some of us need it to happen behind closed doors. This is Ty right here. We're going to just pray for you, man. And Donnell, right? Lonnell. Stretch your hands towards Lonnell, church. Father, I thank you that even all the energy he just felt come towards him. God, I thank you that you are about to use this young man for your glory. Ha ha, enemy, you lost another one. I declare that there is a hedge of protection around Lonnell's life. And
the plans that the enemy had will no longer be valid. God, I thank you that he will have a deep love for your word. And however that is to be expressed, Father, I'm not putting him on a pulpit, however you want to do it in him. I just thank you that you're going to use all of him, Father God. Whether it's, yeah, whether it's on a stage that people see, Father, or he's the mastermind behind a creation that the world uses, however you want to do it, God, I thank you that this young man for the rest of his life will give you the glory. He's marked by you, God. And I just thank you, Father, for the peace of God coming to his mom, to his family. Provide everything that they need, Father. And we thank you he's going to do it in joy, in Jesus' name. And Father, you have the final say in all of our lives. So do what only you can do. Today, we decide that we're going to live in joy and be everything you've called us to be. Have your way in our lives this week, in Jesus' name. Somebody say, we agree? We expect? Amen. Can you give God one more big shout of praise if you're going to live in joy?
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged you. Here at Transformation Church, our vision is to represent God to the lost and the found for transformation in Christ. And if you would like to partner with us in giving, you can text GIVE to 828282, or you can visit on our website. Also, be sure to subscribe and check out all the other incredible sermons available. Now, go out and live a transformed life.